Open. Completely switching gears now. Matt Pabali for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Hope your rides today in the car will be much more pleasant than they were yesterday. Roads are much more clear today. Although in the burbs, and I'm sure here in the city as well, there are pockets of messes that still need to be cleaned up. But we're not expecting a lot more today, at least. So as we are starting to turn the calendar into 2016, there is a ton of different new laws, of course, that will go into effect here in the state of Illinois. One of them, which will be very interesting, is a change in the way DUI laws will take effect. And it says here in a Chicago Tribune article from the other day, for a generation, anti-DUI activists pushed through and defended measures to mandate that first-time arrestees be taken off the roads for at least 30 days, with longer periods for repeat offenders. The suspensions, which start on the 46th day after a DUI arrest. So you get arrested for the first time for a DUI, all the paperwork, things like that, court date have to go through. The 46 days after that arrest, you would get a suspension of at least 30 days. And those are handled apart from a court process. Activists have often complained is also laden with lenient plea deals. But defense attorneys have argued that the suspensions are counterproductive. People needed to drive to keep jobs and ferry kids, so many of those facing DUI charges end up driving illegally without insurance or oversight. And Tribune investigations have found that others often stay on the road legally, helped by some prosecutors willing to cut plea deals that toss the suspensions in exchange for hefty fines. Joining us on the so now what's going to happen with this new law in Illinois is if you get one of these breath ignition things set up in your car, you should be able to avoid losing your license at all after a DUI arrest, at least if you're a first-time offender. And this is actually being applauded on all sides. Rita Kreslin of the Schaumburg-based advocacy group Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists joins us on the phone right now to talk about it. Good morning, Rita. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you very much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it. You're with the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. I would, in general, have thought that type of group would say, no, this is not good. People need to be kept off the road. We need to be more firm with this. We've, I think, kind of applauded really strict measures against DUI. I think the idea of people being scared about getting a DUI helps keep people off the road when they've had a couple of drinks and shouldn't be driving. But you say this is actually a good change to the law?
Yes, it's definitely a good change to the law. In years past, you know, in theory, removing somebody's driver's license swiftly was the biggest deterrent to DUI. And we're finding that that's not true. People are still driving whether their license is revoked or suspended. So the new law eliminates the initial 30-day hard time for the statutory summary suspension for first-time DUI offenders. Offenders still have to apply for the MDDP and have the BAID installed, which will allow unlimited driving during the statutory summary suspension period.
And so what was happening in the past is you get this mandatory 30-day suspension after the 46th day of having had the arrest for DUI. And most people, if you have a job, you have to get kids places, they end up just getting around it because you can't. It's very difficult to get rides everywhere and take care of everything in your everyday life. So often people ended up driving, and something we don't probably think about is, yes, you're driving on a suspended license. That's a risk. But also your insurance is invalid then, correct?
Correct. So the statutory summary suspension is still in effect on the 46th day. And an individual can still apply for the driving permit on the first day of the suspension if they get the BAID. So, for example, if notice is given by the officer, let's say for January 1st, the statutory suspension effective would be February 16th. No hard time suspension, so they can get the MDDP on February 16th. The length of the suspension does not change, so it will still be 6 to 12 months, but they will be given the driving permit to drive during that period.
Rita Kreslin is with the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists out of Schaumburg. Hold on one second, Rita. We need to take a quick break for traffic. I want to find out more about these devices, how you get them installed, and how wondering if people can't still get around this. Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. We're speaking with Rita Kreslin from Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. And Rita, we were talking before we went into the break about this new measure that will allow people who apply for the ability to keep their license. You get arrested for a DUI, first-time offense. On the 46th day, your license is suspended for at least 30 days. That's been how it's worked in the past. Now you can get a breath alcohol integration, ignition interlock device. Is that what these are called?
Yes.
Okay. And so if you apply for that, you have to apply. I imagine you have to get a lawyer. You have to apply for this right away so that by the 46th day when your suspension takes effect that everything's in place for you to use this device?
Correct. You have to also have an application which is submitted to the Secretary of State's office.
Do you pay an additional fine? You know, is there some way that I know you have to pay to get the device, and we'll get into that in a minute, but is there some sort of additional fine or payment you're making to the state to allow you to do this, to keep your license?
I think it approximately runs about $100 a month to be able to keep the Bay device monitored through your car. So there is a fee. I don't know if you would call it exactly a fine, but there are fees that keep that device up and running and working and being able to have it monitored.
Okay, so there's a fee for the device, getting it installed, having it monitored every month, but there's not a separate fee that you pay to the state to go through this. So, because kind of like, you know, I'm thinking if I get a speeding ticket and I don't want to just pay for the ticket and have it go on my insurance, I will pay a separate fine and go to like a driving class or something like that. This, you're paying to have the device installed and monitored, but you're not paying a separate fine, you know, just like we're talking about how the Tribune investigation showed that in a lot of suburbs, instead of losing your license, they're paying an exorbitant fine and then getting out of that, and the county's making some more money. That's not part of this per se.
No.
Right? Okay.
No. I'm not sure if there's a fee to actually fill out the application. I know that the application has to be filled out, but I don't know if they actually charge a fee to fill that application out. But there is a fee to be able to have it monitored every month and have it installed.
Okay.
Which can be very costly.
Yeah. It sounds like it's about $100 a month, you were saying, to have it installed and monitored. So, but that's, in essence, that's the price you pay. And I guess that's, you know, that's we want to keep people safely on the road. If people are going to make a mistake, get a first-time DUI, get their license suspended, and then drive illegally because of it, because they still have to go to work, because they still have to take the kids, if people are not, you know, the point of the law was make it so tough that people are like, oh, my gosh, I better not drink and drive because I can't go through all of that, right? But if we make it so tough that then people just ignore the law, which makes it more dangerous because people are now driving uninsured, then we want to find a common ground. And that's what it sounds like has been done here. But we also want this not to be so easy, right, that people are like, I'll just get that thing. It'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. So do you think we've found a nice balance here? Because there's still a process. It's still a pain in the butt. It's still an offense that if you get a second one, you're really in trouble, and you're going to pay some money. There is going to be some financial hardship as well with this device. Plus, it's embarrassing and a pain in the butt to have to do it, I imagine.
Right. It's not a fix-all, but it definitely is keeping the road safer and keeping people from drinking and driving. You know, every year there's over 15,000 drivers that have their license either suspended or revoked, and they're still driving. And it's impossible to know how many times this offense is committed without a driver being caught. You know, in Illinois every year there's approximately 32,000 people arrested for DUI. So it's still a problem, and people are still drinking and driving. So if people realize that, you know, they made the mistake for the first time and they are a first-time DUI offender and they want to be able to drive legally and make a wrong a right, then this gives them the opportunity to do it and to do it legally and safely and hopefully remain sober.
Yeah, that's the key. What's the rate of repeat offenders when it comes to DUI? Are most DUI offenders here in Illinois people that made a mistake, had a couple too many, didn't realize they were over the limit? Or is it more we have a lot of repeat offenders and dangerous drivers that we have to keep off the road?
Well, we don't have any real records that show how many exactly are repeat offenders regularly. I will tell you that every month, just in one county, we do victim impact panels, which are mostly first-time DUI offenders. And twice a month, there are anywhere from 140 to 170 individuals that come through that victim impact panel. So, and those, like I said, are the majority are first-time DUI offenders. And most of them never repeat again because they're so mortified that they got a DUI and realize that they thought that they were okay when they left that wedding, or they didn't realize that the 2 to 3 drinks that they had affected them quite the way that they did. But, you know, it's still people, you know, they make mistakes, and keeping them in the bay device, it, like I said, it's not a perfect solution. A lot of people don't like the bay device. They feel that it's a distraction in the car. But it is an alternative to keeping people safe. And when the bait is being used, lives are being saved.
Tell me a little bit more about the device. How does it work? And how do I not, if I'm traveling with a friend, not say, hey, Joe, go ahead and blow on this thing for me because I had a couple drinks and I can't do that. How do people not just get around it?
Well, first of all, people, if they don't drive, if they drive someone's car and they don't have a bait device installed in the car, it could be a class 4 felony because they've agreed to drive with the bait in their car. They cannot have someone blow into the device for them. Last year, Secretary of State passed a law that installed cameras in with the bait device. So it actually takes a picture of you, the individual that's supposed to be blowing into the device. So you can't have somebody, you know, Mary can't be sitting next to Johnny and say, hey, blow into this for me. They would get caught.
So a picture is taken, and that's part of the $100 you're spending per month to have somebody monitor this. That gets automatically sent somewhere. How does that work? How is that monitored?
It's monitored through the Secretary of State's office. I know that there's approximately, I'm going to guess and say 4 companies that provide the bait device, but they're monitored through the Secretary of State's office, too. So the pictures, whether or not you're in violation, if you've got a restricted driving permit and you drive out of the area that you're allowed to drive in, all of that goes through the Secretary of State's office. I'm not positive about all the fines. I know that it's approximately $100 a month to have that monitored. So is there a fee if you're in violation? I'm not sure, but I know you have to go back and you have to have the device kept up with and you know, checked frequently as well. And I think each time you go in, there's a charge for that as well.
Interesting. And then, so this is all about first-time offenders. Second-time offenders, I imagine the laws get a lot more strict. Is it an automatic then actual loss of license or possible jail time?
Well, second or subsequent people that are convicted of DUI offenses can also apply for a restricted driving permit now, and they can do it immediately through the Secretary of State's office. In the past, they have to wait 1 to 3 years for the hard time, but now they can file, and the hard time will be eliminated, and if they pass the application, they're granted driving relief through the Secretary of State's office, and then they would have the bait installed as well.
And are you happy with those laws as they stand, Rita?
You know, as an organization, yes, because like I said, when the bait device is being used, lives are being saved. It's not perfect. There are a lot of people, victims, and I'm a victim myself, that feel that driving is a privilege, as we all know, and that somebody that is not wise enough to learn after their first DUI conviction doesn't deserve the right to drive. But it's counterproductive, like you said in the newspaper, Larry Davis had mentioned that, you know, people change, you know, and some people that have had 2 DUIs maybe had one when they were younger, and now they're married and they have families and they're trying to do the right thing, and they may have gotten another DUI and in that time period of 10 years, and there was no relief for any of those individuals to ever drive legally again, you know. So, again, it's not perfect, and we so, as a victim advocacy organization, get the feelings of families that feel that they don't care if individuals ever drive again, but it doesn't keep our roads safe, and it's not the answer for saving lives.
Rita Kreslin is the executive director of the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. Find out more at their website, aim1.org, so A-A-I-M, the number 1.org. Rita, thank you so much for jumping on the phone today.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great morning. Rita Kreslin from AIM, 720 WGN.